Well, good evening. Glad you are here. Glad you made it. We're going to spend some time in song and then worship tonight. We're glad to have Dr. Bubba Stahl, Dr. Charles Bubba Stahl, and Gary Coven and his wife Teresa with us tonight as well. We are listening to the Word and spending time in it. And we can do that in song. We can do that in prayer. We can do that in the preaching of the Word of God. And so hopefully that we're allowing the Lord to speak into our hearts this week. So thank you for being here. We will be taking an offering in a little while. Let me just give some instruction on that right now. If you're giving to the church for your offering, your tithe, use a church envelope. Otherwise, everything that goes in the plate, we're going to give it to the team. So I hope that's clear for you. Everything that goes in there besides what's in a church envelope will go to the team for this week's service. So let me pray, and y'all ready? All right, I'm not leading you in song. I'm just going to pray. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are good, that, Father God, you have provided for us all through this day. We have eaten of the Word earlier today in fellowship together. And now, Father, thank you for the fellowship that we've had, and now this time to worship you. Father, direct our attention toward your goodness and your righteousness, your love, your truth, your grace, and help us, Father, to see the greatness that comes with your kingdom to the people who believe and trust you. Lord God, may we find ourselves that very people. Speak to our hearts. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Are you glad to be here tonight?
Amen.
All three of you. And you're glad to be here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Repeat after me. I was glad when they said unto me.
I was glad when they said unto me.
Let us go into the house of the Lord. We're here to worship. Stand with me and let's worship the Lord together tonight.
Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all the glad songs we can sing, worthy of all of the offerings we Father, Creator, you are worthy.
sustainer, you are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise.
Amen, amen. Greet somebody in the Lord, two or three somebodies. Tell them you're glad they're here tonight. Sit if you'd like, stand if you'd like, but let's keep continuing praising the Lord. Trust and obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still.
By yourselves.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.
His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, great is thy faithfulness.
Amen. Sing it again.
The steadfast
We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you how you've proven yourself time and time again throughout the history of the Bible and through our own lives, how faithful you are. And we thank you and we praise you. We love you. We've come tonight to lift you up, Lord God, to worship you, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you might have freedom in this place to mold us and change us and make us like our Savior Jesus in every way. We love you. We give you praise. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Choir is going to sing for you a song now, and we're gonna get after it up here. So if you want to tap your foot or something, that'll be quite all right. We'll let you do it.
Need a whole lot of love, all in need of a grace that's greater, reaching down and lifting up people like us. Oh, God's children, sons and daughters, gather round, saints and sinners.
Did that include you?
Amen.
People like us need a mighty Savior, don't we? Amen.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Will do. Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you're all I want. close to you. Make it your prayer tonight. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You were my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else could take your place, to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way, bring me back to you. I wish I had time tonight to share my testimony with you, but you'd be here a while, and I'd probably be the only one awake after it was over, so I'm not going to do all of that. But I can sum it up like this. God has been faithful. God has been so faithful. And if there was anybody undeserving for his faithfulness, it's me. But he's been so faithful to me. How I thank him and I praise him for that. And I would like for you to, as I sing tonight, for you just to think about what all God's done for you. I heard somebody say not too long ago, just stop and try to think about what your life would be like without God's love. Oh, that would be terrible, wouldn't it? Be horrible. Can't imagine it. And as you look back on your life and all that we've been through in our lives, especially us older ones now, man, you can just see God's hand over and over and over again, how faithful he's been to us. And we can trust him, we can put our faith in him, and we don't need to stop. We need to just keep doing whatever. We're in a point in our lives right now, we're just asking God, what's next? We're in a new chapter, but God's got a plan. God's got a purpose for us. He made us for a purpose, with a purpose in mind, and he's going to fulfill that. And one thing I'll be able to tell you, if I live 5 more years, that he's been faithful these last 5 years too.
Had no song, still in love.
every word he's promised to me. When I thought it was impossible, I see my God do. He's been faithful. Even fail to believe, yet he's been faithful to me. When my many times I could not pray, still my God, he's been faithful to me. The days I spent so selfishly reaching out for what pleased me, was faithful to me. Every time I come back to him, he is waiting with open arms, and I see
bearers can make their way up. We're going to take this time to worship through giving, and you had instructions earlier about that. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this time of worshiping through giving, we thank you for your generosity to us, Lord, feeding us spiritually, and now we pray that we'll be found faithful, good stewards, being generous in feeding this team physically. Lord God, impress upon our hearts that we might honor and glorify your name. Would be our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
And let's pray together. Our loving Father in heaven, God, there is no one like you. No one loves us the way that you do, and we love you, Father. And in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks. We're grateful. We praise your holy name. How majestic is the name of the Lord in all the earth. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us on the cross, taking away the eternal penalty of all of our sins and rising from the dead to give us eternal life, knowing you forever. We are grateful. Holy Spirit, we love you. You are our teacher and our guide. And we just imagine all over the world today all that you did in saving people. So many new believers now in your kingdom by your work and the faithful witness of your people all over the world. Save some here tonight, God. And you healed people all over the world and delivered and instructed in all places, in homes in Iran and Iraq, as they wondered if they would be arrested, and in jungles of the South Pacific and Asia and Africa, people gathered to be instructed in your word and grew to bear fruit and multiply. Do it again here, Father, that you and you alone may be known in our lives. And only you can make that happen, Holy Spirit. So make it happen for the glory and honor of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And hallelujah. Well, good evening, beloved. You know, I call you beloved because you are loved by God. That's what the Bible calls. We're beloved. We're beloved. And we are loved by God. And I want to tell you, you are a happy church. You know how I can tell? By the way you sing. You know, I asked a group of children one time, I said, why do birds sing? And a little boy said, because they're happy. And I wasn't planning, and I said, so why are they happy? Because they sing, he said. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Robert, again, for having us to come down here. I'm happy just being around y'all. And I'll tell you another reason, but the food you eat around here is make you happy. And our good friends James and Nellie Breeden are here tonight. James and Nellie, Beth and I, we were the young couples in First Baptist Church Carrizo Springs, and now we're the senior adults. What happened? Well, anyway, we love them and their family, and I'm getting to know you as we spend time, and I love you. I love being here. I'm gonna miss y'all on Thursday. Well, just don't make that happen too fast. Maybe the Lord will come back before then, and we'll be caught up together forever to be with the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. That's where we are walking through this called a discourse or lesson or sermon or teaching of Jesus in Matthew's gospel. And these five are just worth spending. And you know, a million years from now, we'll still be studying these messages in Matthew's gospel, because God's word is eternal. And you say, well, no, we'll know all of that before then. No, it just gets deeper and deeper and wider and wider and richer and richer. And so we want to get a head start on that by spending as much time as we can in the Word. Thank you for calling this time together in the Word. Reminds me of a friend that I had. He's with the Lord now, but down there on the river ministry. You'd have your greeting. Hey, Brother Smith, how are you? And he'd always say, I'm blessed because I'm in the Word and on my knees. In the Word and on my knees. Sometimes he'd say, on my knees and in the Word. But those two go together. Well, this Matthew chapter 18 begins with the disciples, and this is exclusive, Jesus just with his disciples, with this question they had, who is the greatest in the kingdom? And as we said on Sunday morning, is a real dumb question, because there's only one who is greatest in the kingdom, and they were asking him who is the greatest in the kingdom. They were blind, of course, we know, by their own ambition, by their own pride, something that we are all very familiar with, and it blinds us to the obvious right before us. God, deliver us from that. Heal us from that blindness. But instead of rebuking them, Jesus just picked their question and took it a different direction to teach greatness in the kingdom. What is great in the kingdom? So that their eyes could be open to greatness. And he starts with humility. And that's what humility is. Humility is being able to recognize greatness. And when you recognize greatness, that just gets all of your attention because of the greatness of it. And you're not worried about yourself. You're not worried about anything, much less yourself, because something else has captured your attention. And Jesus used a little child for that example, because everything is greater than the child in the child's eyes. That's why they're so happy. That's why they have so much fun. They don't have anything to offer, nothing to brag about. They just have fun. And they are obedient. Now, I know there's some of you say, maybe you need to come home with me and you'll change that sermon in a hurry. No, in other cultures that we have been in, and ours used to be, that no, the children, that's what they were. They were obedient. That's humility. What does it look like? It looks like obedience. Why? Because of greatness. You want to be obedient. It's a good word. With joy and serving. Those three all go together. And so we pick right up with this message. And I want to back up a little bit to that verse 3. And then read down verse 6. And then, as we learned last night, Jesus kind of stopped there at verse 6 to talk about something else in our lives, the things that offend him and us, and how we are to prune those poor choices in our life. It's not your eye, your hand, or your foot that causes you to sin. It's a will that chooses to believe a lie, and you want to get rid of that. You don't want to end up where that will take you as Jesus. But then Jesus goes back to what he began in verse 4 and 5 and 6 that we want to look at tonight, verse 10 through 14, in talking about the greatness of each person in the kingdom. We sometimes use the word fellowship, which is being together, all of us, every one, and how each one has such great value to God that we can also recognize that greatness in even the least and the last and the lost among us. So let's get that context and get into this evening. So verse 3, and he said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, to stumble, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Now pick up in verse 10. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 who never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." It's interesting how many verses and ideas and that are in chapter 18 that we are familiar with. And this is one of them, as Jesus reminds the disciples that the smallest one among us have angels that see the face of the Father in heaven. And then, of course, the sheep that goes astray, that the shepherd goes after and brings back with joy. And we're familiar, and Jesus talks about these things. But to understand what he is saying in the context of Matthew 18 as he's teaching on greatness is something that we need to learn and be reminded of, so that we don't get blind and miss the greatness of what God sees. And beloved, I'm going to tell you what one of the great things that God sees is you. He sees you. He sees me. And he is just amazed with love toward us. That's so weird. I don't know you that well, but I'm sure if I spent enough time with you, I'd be more amazed as I am about myself. God loves us. God loves us. You know, why does God love us? Because he loves loving us. And Jesus is pointing out to the disciples, and we are very familiar with this, that it's seems like he especially is prone toward those that we overlook. I mean, think about, now Jesus has this little child as an example. He's using this child as an example. And we know that children, grandchildren are so much fun. Because here they come, and they're here, and there they go. And they're happy, and we're happy. Let me put it a different way. Boy, Beth and I, we had so much fun the first 5 years of our marriage, and then Ben was born. And then Dan came 18 months later. And we loved them with all of our heart. But let me tell you something. They were a lot of trouble. And they got into trouble. And it's messy having children, isn't it? And it's inconvenient. And they have a way of interrupting your plans. So many illustrations come to mind. And you know what Jesus is saying to us about one of the things that is great in the kingdom of heaven, which is fellowship? He's saying, I want you to see how much joy it is being like me and recognizing the greatness of being inconvenienced with messy people in the fellowship. People that cry a lot. People that call attention to themselves. People that are just so immature, just like children are growing up. But what do? You kick them out and say, come back when you're straightened up. Good grief, are you kidding me? How many times have we done that in church? Or just kind of give them the cold shoulder. Maybe they'll get the picture. What kind of parent would do that to their child? A little child. Now, when they get to be teenagers, yeah, you may want to try that strategy some. But seriously, I think this is overlooked so much, and oftentimes because of the strange and exaggerated and drastic thing about if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. That kind of gets our attention. And then later the parable that Jesus will tell. But here is something that is so important. Unity in the body of Christ, which is fellowship. We have a lot of different ways of talking about it. But oftentimes it gets disrupted by someone who's having a hard time with something. And haven't we all been there? Of course we have. You see, when Jesus is saying these little ones, he's not just talking about small children. He's talking about all of us who at some time or another in our life get to that place where we feel like that, where we feel so vulnerable, where we feel so ignorant, where we feel so taken advantage of and so hurt, where we get our feelings hurt, just like a little child. And that doesn't go away the older you get. In fact, it seems like, you know, December 2021 is when I retired, not from ministry, but I retired from going to staff meeting is what I retired from. But that meant I was home all the time. And I enjoy that. Beth sacrificed for 50 years while, you know, I was a cowboy and then a pastor. So I thought, now she gets to get what she wants. Good grief, I didn't realize how much that was going to be. But one of the things we both discovered was, boy, it seems like our feelings are getting hurt a lot these days. I thought we kind of outgrew that. No. The older you get, I've discovered, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. And the older you get, the more that is required. But we all, at some time or another, are like the little child that Jesus is saying, you must not despise. And that's a command there in verse 10. You must not despise. It's an imperative. And that word despise means to overlook. And of course, children in Jesus' day were overlooked. They did not have the kind of value, it seems like, that we put on our children here in our country, and which is a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. But they remember when they brought children to Jesus, and the disciples got upset about that. He didn't have time for these little ones. And what did Jesus say? No, he rebuked them for that. Another occasion for making this point, that the least, the little ones, and we all are there from time to time. And you never know when you're looking at someone that you see every week if they've had that kind of week. But we should be able to view one another with the look of, it doesn't matter what you say or what you do, you're never getting rid of me. If you turn around and leave, I'm going with you. Well, then I'm not going anywhere. Okay, well, there we have it. Why is God so into that Jesus would make such a point to us in this chapter on greatness, on humility, on forgiveness, which is great. We'll get into it tomorrow, God willing, the next section. And then the parable on the great blessings of God that are to be shared. The greatest one, of course. What's the greatest blessing you've ever received from God? Some would say, well, my wife or my husband, my children. No, I'll tell you something greater than that, and that's forgiveness. Is there anything in your life that's topped that one? And so we'll get there, God willing, on Wednesday night. But here, leading up to that, is the greatness of unity, fellowship. I know you've probably heard that definition. What's fellowship? That's two fellows in the same ship. Yeah, you be careful how you say that, but it also means that, too. It's family is what it is. It's the way God intended family to be. And as we've said, this is by far the number one word describing the children of God, those that are in the kingdom, family. We are brothers and sisters, and we have a Father who is in heaven, our Father who is in heaven. And Jesus Christ made that possible. And each one of us has been given his life as our life. Think about that when you see each other. Look for the greatness that is there, which is the life of Jesus in there, in that person, just like you. And there is a spiritual agreement. Jesus liked the word oneness. There's a spiritual oneness that happens. And all that means is agreement. Fellowship is being in agreement. When Jesus was saying, I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me, and I'm in you, and that mutual indwelling, what is that? Being in agreement. You know, whenever I used to do weddings, I think I've mentioned that to you already, I used to do weddings, I would talk about that during the wedding, about how now God is creating something that never has been before, and it's two people who become one. And what that means is now y'all are together. That doesn't mean that you'll always agree. It means there's something greater than your disagreements, and that is your unity together. And I will many times encourage them, never let a disagreement become greater than your agreement with each other. You will have many disagreements, but there's a oneness. Why is God so into that? Because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three that are one. And here is something that Jesus is showing us, that here's your opportunity to display before the whole world who he is, not who we are. Just like humility. You don't want to be humble so that somebody will give you the prize for being the most humble. I heard about that happening one time. They voted in the whole town, and they nominated this guy, and he won. They gave him a medal. The next week, they took it away because he wore it every day. Hey. They finally woke up and saw the light here. No, why do we want to emphasize the greatness of fellowship so that we'll all get along? No, because it's a witness of who God is. How can three be one? Because they're three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But there's only one God. And of course, our minds can't get a hold of that, but your heart can. You may not understand it, but don't let that keep you from believing what the Bible has revealed. That's who God is. And of course, I know you've heard many kind of illustrations to try to explain that. None of them, they all fall down. But the best one I've heard of, actually, a long time ago, back in the 3rd and 4th century, when they were hammering these things out and discussing them, was the flame of a candle. That was their light back then, of course, the flame of a candle. The Father represents the flame. And from that flame emanate light and heat. Because they would talk about from the Scripture how from the Father that he sent the Son and he also sent the Holy Spirit. So from the flame comes light and heat. But you can't separate those three. They're three distinct elements, but one essence, one flame, but three, and even that kind of breaks down. But here's the point. When we work on this, recognizing we have a need here, some are weak here, like a child. Some are having a hard time here, like we all have had from time to time. We can't keep moving at this pace when we have some limping behind us. We cannot do that. We've got to put on full stop, and that will glorify the Lord. But what about accomplishing things? This is what the Lord wants us to accomplish. A togetherness. That sometimes some, and of course Paul talks about it in some Romans 14 and 15. You know the passages about those that think it's okay to eat meat, and others that say no, we can't do that, and others that say no, you only you 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 go to, on the Sabbath, or you go on Sunday, and that's what you got to do. And you know the discussion. And that from time to time, we're all a little behind the curve of someone else. We all have times of Simon Peter around the charcoal fire at Caiaphas's house. And we need to remember that same charcoal fire was also at the beach with Jesus when he restored the one who had stumbled and fallen and was not going to leave him behind. Now, of course, we've got to apply this to our own lives, but it's not that hard to do when we have a family to use as the example. We don't do this in our families. And the family is, as we said at noon, the family and the church family should be the closest experience of our destination in heaven that we can have on this earth, in this world. Well, Jesus says it really clear. You don't want to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Well, we've really got to pay attention to ourselves around these little ones. We don't want to have a bad example. We hear Jesus say they're angels. God sends his messengers to protect and guide and help. And then he makes it just as clear as it can be. So, it is not the will of my Father that any one of these little ones should perish. Beloved, if that doesn't blow your ever-loving mind, I don't know what will. To see the great heart of our Father, who is not willing that any should perish, especially a little one. And again, we are all that little one from time to time. Nobody has it all together and never stumbles anymore. And when we do, that's when the fellowship rallies as a powerful witness of the Holy Spirit and what he does when we stumble and fall. We get picked up and healed. I know y'all heard that story of the Special Olympics that they were having, you know, and it was the race, and they were running, I think, a 200 meter or whatever, and it was the Down syndrome group of boys and girls, and they were running, they were having, everybody was cheering, and one of them stumbled and fell, and they all stopped. Have you heard that story? I think it's on YouTube, I'm sure it is. They all stopped and went running over there. Are you okay? Are you okay? And picked that one up, and then they all held hands and started, because we don't want anybody else to fall down. And so they all still held hands and started walking. They didn't know this is a competition. And after they walked hand in hand for a while, then they just locked arms together, and they all won at the same time. I believe that's what the Lord wants to see in us. That we would be able to sacrifice. It requires sacrifice. And it requires an ear to hear what the Lord is saying when that's needed. Because we're all pretty good at masking our weaknesses, our vulnerabilities, our pain. Let me tell you, I'm out of time, but I want to tell you a story about this. The Lord showed me the importance of this in a startling way. And it's kind of a long story, but so bear with me. But we started going to Uganda in 1998, actually. Went to Kenya in 97, Uganda in 98. Before that, all of our mission trips were to Mexico and along the border. But 98, went to Uganda, was able to stay with these pastors and hear their vision for a church in every village, evangelism, church planting, and pastor training. And went back to our church there in Burnie and shared this with them, how we could partner with them in this, and boy, we just took off. And our kind of our mode of operation, our drill each year, we would go and have a pastor's conference, And there would be, I don't know, 50, 60, sometimes 100 pastors that would come in for the week. And, of course, the expenses for that our church would take care of. It wasn't a big deal. And we would have teaching of those pastors. And I've had so much training, good grief, more than somebody should have, actually. And please, forget Dr. Bubba. I needed a doctor after doing that. That's what I needed. And we have two doctors that actually help people, our two sons. But anyway, I understand that. But doctor and Bubba really don't go together. Something's not right there. But I've had a lot of training, and these pastors had the calling, but no opportunity for school out in the bush. And so I felt like I had a stewardship, a great resource to share with them, and I enjoyed it. So we would go and have these pastors' conferences, talk about being a pastor, because I know the hunger of when you've been called. And then in the afternoon, they would have picked out a village that didn't have a church, that they wanted to, what they call, open a new church, plant a church. And they'd have a young pastor at the conference that's ready to be the next pastor there. He would be a deacon of one of the other pastors. Every pastor over there has one deacon, and that deacon is the pastor in training for the church that they're going to start. So they'd have the former deacon, now young pastor, ready to start the new church. And what we would do every afternoon, we would go to that village, get in pairs, and we would witness all in the area. We'd start at a tree and say, okay, let's go over here around and come back. Let's share the gospel with everybody, every hut. Meet back here an hour before sunset for the service. And we'd go to hut, share the gospel. People would pray to receive Christ. And we would tell them, now we're going to have a service at the tree. You know where that tree? Oh, yeah, the mango tree. That's where we're going to be here in just a little while. You'll hear us singing. Okay. And so first day, go out, and then everybody comes for first service. Now, you never know who the first one's going to be, because accepting Christ in your hut's different than professing him publicly before the village. But we would say, okay, now we preach. We preach the gospel. We wouldn't use a translator. I wouldn't preach. They would preach. And they'd give the invitation. Now, over there, you don't sing at the invitation for people to come forward. They don't sing until somebody responds. And then they say, now we join in with the angels. But they always wait with anticipation as who is going to be the first one in the village to stand up and say, I have received Christ in my hut just a few minutes ago. I profess Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because that one, they say, opens the gate and usually becomes the deacon or deaconess in that church, a church leader that will be, because they, it's just the way they recognize it. I love it. And boy, in anticipation, they give the invitation, and you can tell when they're pleading people, who's going to be the first? Who will accept Christ? Who will profess him? And they wait. And then somebody stands up, and man, they get happy. I remember seeing a guy, a young man, he jumped higher than Michael Jordan ever dreamed of jumping. His feet, and he was shouting before he hit the ground, and then they start singing. More come. Next day, same thing. Teaching in the morning, witnessing in the afternoon, come back. By the end of the week, we gather the new believers with that pastor, ordained that congregation as the body of Christ in this village, and salt and light. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it if you like it. Well, we were doing that, and I was teaching on Ezekiel 34, woe to you shepherds. You can look at it later. Now, of course, Ezekiel's talking about kings. The kings were referred, in the Old Testament, the kings were referred to as shepherds after David and to lead the people of God. But so God really rebukes the kings or the shepherds of Israel because they did not go after the lost. They did not bind up the wounded. They did not encourage. They did not. And later in the chapter, God says, so I myself will shepherd my flock. And this is what Jesus picked up on in, I'm giving you the pastor's conference in about 2 minutes here. Jesus was talking about this in John 10 when he called himself the good shepherd. He's fulfilling that prophecy. And so we talked about this least and the last and the lost going after, and a sheep in the congregation that's gone astray, whatever that looks like. We want to restore that one and bring them back. We can't say we can do without you. We cannot do without you. And so I was talking, and at the same time, also because they ask, how do you recognize the voice of God? So we were talking about, how do you recognize when God is speaking to you? Of course, from His Word, but also by His Spirit that lives in you. So we were looking at those two things, teaching on that. And of course, obedience all the way. Well, we got to this village, Bufalubi. That's the name of the village, Bufalubi. Don't ask me what that means. I will not tell you. Prison. There's a prison right there, Uganda, Bufalubi. And of course, in prison over there, they don't feed you. So if your family doesn't bring you food, you'll starve to death unless there's somebody that will share their food with you. So Bufalubi was filled with families of people in prison. And we saw right away that alcoholism was a real problem. A lot of people were drunk in Bufalubi. We got out, we kind of decided, okay, we're going to take this area. And right away, my eye saw this little orphan boy, maybe 8 years old. Now, you recognize the orphans over there because they just wear rags and they're filthy. And I saw him, and of course, they're everywhere, but my eye just kind of picked up on him. And I looked, and then he turned, and I saw, it's so gross. One eye was gone. It was just a cavity there. The other eye was swollen outside of the eyelid and was draining. I said, that's just the grossest thing I've ever seen. And I was praying for him. God help that blind orphan boy. Well, we went on our place, you know, went to visit and share and had people say. We met back at this tree, and of course we were singing to kind of signal everybody to gather. And here he comes. He heard the singing. And he kind of made his way in there. And he was he made his way right over in front of me. And good grief, he looked bad, but he smelled worse. I could smell that rotten eye. And so, but he was clapping. And then I heard the Lord very clearly say, pray for him. I said, well, yes, Lord, well, I am praying for him. No, put your hand on his head and pray for him. It's very clear. And I argued. I know you've done that before. I said, Lord, it'll scare him to death if I touch him. Put your hand on his head and pray for him. So he was just going. I put my hand on it. He froze. He just froze. Breathing through my mouth because I couldn't stand the smell, so I just started praying. I said, God, heal him. Heal him. Give him new eyes. You do that over here. Do it. Do it for your glory, and let's just heal him. And as I was praying, I was so overwhelmed with joy and confidence, I knew that I was going to look into the face of two new eyes. I looked, and it wasn't there. It was worse than before, it seemed like. But it was undeniable what the Lord gave me in terms of a feeling. Well, that night, I stayed most of the night just praying for that blind orphan boy in Uganda. Went back the next day, couldn't find him. He wasn't around. Oh, no. Third day, didn't see him. Came back to the service on the fourth day. We're getting ready to conclude on the fifth day. On the fifth day, he is there for the inauguration of the new church. And he's standing there right in the middle of all of it. And I'm just praying for him. And then the Lord said to me very clearly, I want you to anoint his eyes with oil and pray for him. Now at that point I said, I did not bring gloves. I can't do that. I don't have gloves. Beth told me not to touch anything like that. You don't want me to disobey my wife. I didn't say all that, but And I said, the other two stalls, they're the ones that can do that kind of work. I can't do that. I'd been teaching how important it was to do that, to be obedient to what the Lord tells you to do. So I asked, is anybody here related to this boy right here? And there was a young man that was one of the first one believers to profess Christ. He said, he's a relative of mine. His parents died a long time ago. We kind of try to help him, but I said, I want you to watch what I'm going to do, and I want you to do it from now on. And I had a little tube, and I didn't have any oil, but I had a little tube of antibiotic ointment. I said, this will have to do. So, man, I was just, oh, God, help me. This is the hardest thing I've ever done. I can't even stand to look at it, much less smell it. He's standing right in front of me. It's just gross. So I thought, well, I'm going to start with the easy one, the eye that's not even there. So I put a little dab of that antibiotic ointment. I told him, now tell him what I'm getting ready to do so he's not frightened. So he said, he's going to put some oil and pray for you. So he was just standing there. So I got a little of that, and I kind of put it on the eyebrow and kind of underneath. There wasn't anything there. And Lord, give him new eyes. Okay, well, that wasn't too hard. Now this one, I thought, if I touch that, it's going to pop, and it'll get on me. I don't think I can stand that. I'll throw up, and that won't be a good way to start a church. I just pray, God, help me, help me, help me. Put a little dab, and just before I was about to touch that eye, it rolled up. So the big abscess that was draining, I didn't have to look at that. I said, oh, thank you, God. You're so good. And so I put a little dab there, kind of around the sides. God, heal his eyes. Help him. Help him. And then as clear as a bell, I heard the Lord say, thank you. That felt good to my eyes. And my eyes were opened. And I realize I'm looking into the face of my King. Because I had taught that during the week. Jesus said, whenever you've done this, and you know the passage. Whenever you've done this unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And then I realized, good grief. I thought he was the blind boy, and I'm the one that was blind. And then everything changed. Then I just got that antibiotic. I just squirted the whole thing in my hand. I just wiped it all over his face. And ministry became worship at that point. I was serving my King, who says, I am so identified and close to those who are least and the last and the lost and the hurting, that whenever you touch them, you're touching me. Let's get after it, beloved. Let's get after it. Because we never know who that little blind orphan be. They may not physically smell bad, but what they may be doing smells bad to us. And Jesus is waiting for us to join him there at that point. And when we do, our eyes are opened. And we realize, good grief, this is God. All of our reluctance, all of our hesitation, I'll do it, but I won't be happy about it, completely vanishes away. And the bottom line is this: God smiles so big it lights up eternity. He loves that. He loves that when we even think and especially do like him. Because, beloved, that's who he is. The one who is hurting the most is where you'll find him. Well, amen and hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we're really not in a very big hurry because we know you are here and you love us. And your desire is so much greater than ours in wanting to be like you more and more, because no one loves the Son like the Father and the Spirit. Father, give us the love that you have for your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, make it happen. And no one loves the Father like the Son and the Spirit. And Lord Jesus, you promised us that we would have your love for the Father as well as for one another. Holy Spirit, make it happen. No one magnifies and glorifies the Father and the Son like the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, make that happen in us. And we know that that is manifest when we see the greatness of your love toward the least and the last and the lost. We've experienced it ourselves. Help us to share it with one another more and more. For your glory and for our joy and strength is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Your pastor, Robert, will be here. I would ask you just to remain seated. Sing if you would like. Pray. Teresa will play the piano. But maybe it's a time just to be still. And certainly come and share. Come and pray. Go to someone else to pray and to share. This is not the only minister in this room. Members are the ministers. You may want to go to one. Say, man, I sense you're hurting. I know I am. I forgive you. Will you forgive me? And leave it there. And know that God is there. Let's just spend a few quiet moments in prayer. And if you're okay, you know someone that's hurting, join Jesus in interceding for them while we close this service out.
Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you lift me up. When I am dry, you fill me like a cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Sing that chorus with me. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your
with you at this time. Father, we need you, and we thank you for moving in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for these words that you've sent through this messenger tonight, the music that has brought us to the throne of grace, and Father, for your Spirit moving in our midst and helping us to be what you desire in us, unified, oneness, in agreement, and then healed even when we disagree. Lord God, move in our midst. Be glorified. We thank you for your love for us. It is what prompts us to love one another and to love you more. Father, we ask you to accompany us now as we become your scattered people in this community. Lord God, use us. Help us to do just what was spoken of tonight, to see you in the least around us. Lord God, you're good. Your mercy endures forever. And thank you for that mercy and grace that you've shed upon those who believe. Father, I pray for anyone in this place tonight that has not trusted you as Savior and Lord. Father God, stir their heart, break their hearts, bring them to the place where they will come before you and experience the freedom of forgiveness, the assurance of eternity. That, Lord God, they would find that joy. And they would be unified with this body so that we could all celebrate together. Now, Father, empower us by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God bless. Dismissed. Do you have another song?
Stand with me. Let's sing together.
You are worthy, Father. Sustainer, you are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise.
God bless you. Have a great evening and a great day tomorrow. We look forward to seeing you at noon if you can come. And tomorrow night, right back here.